brought to you by Penguin.
The Comedians by Graham Greene, read by Adrian Lucas. Aspects are within us, and who seems mostly kingly is the king. Thomas Hardy. Part 1. Chapter 1. 1. When I think of all the grey memorials erected in London to equestrian generals, the heroes of old colonial wars, and to frock-coated politicians who were even more deeply forgotten, I can find no reason to mock the modest stone that commemorates Jones on the far side of the International Road, which he failed to cross in a country far from home, though I am not to this day absolutely sure of where, geographically speaking, Jones's home lay. At least he paid for the monument, however unwillingly, with his life, while the generals as a rule came home safe and paid, if at all, with the blood of their men, and as for the politicians, who cares for dead politicians sufficiently to remember with what issues they were identified? Free trade is less interesting than an Ashanti war, though the London pigeons do not distinguish between the two. Exegi monumentum. Whenever my rather bizarre business takes me north to Monte Cristo and I pass the stone, I feel a certain pride that my action helped to raise it. There is a point of no return, unremarked at the time, in most lives. Neither Jones nor I knew of when it came, although, like the pilots of the old pre-jet airliners, we should have been trained by the nature of our two careers to better observance. Certainly I was quite unaware of the moment when it receded one sullen August morning on the Atlantic in the wake of the Madeira, a cargo ship of the Royal Netherlands Steamship Company bound for Haiti and Port-au-Prince from Philadelphia and New York. At that period of my life, I still regarded my future seriously, even the future of my empty hotel and of a love affair which was almost as empty. I was not involved, so far as I could tell, with either Jones or Smith. They were fellow passengers, that was all, and I had no idea of the pomp funèbre they were preparing for me in the parlours of Mr. Fernandez. If I'd been told, I would have laughed, as I laugh now on my better days. The level of the pink gin in my glass shifted with the movement of the boat, as though the glass were an instrument made to record the shock of the waves, as Mr. Smith said firmly in reply to Jones. "I've never suffered from mal de mer. No, sir. It's the effect of acidity. Eating meat gives you acidity. Drinking alcohol does the same." He was one of the Smiths of Wisconsin, but I thought of him from the very first as the presidential candidate, because before I even knew his surname, his wife had so referred to him, as we leant over the rail our first hour at sea. She made a jerking movement with her strong chin as she spoke, which seemed to indicate that if there were another presidential candidate on board, he was not the one she intended. She said, "I mean my husband there, Mr. Smith. He was presidential candidate in 1948. He's an idealist. Of course, for that very reason, he stood no chance." What could we have been talking about to lead her to that statement? We were idly watching the flat grey sea, which seemed to lie within the 3-mile limit like an animal, passive and ominous in a cage, waiting to show what it can do outside. I may have spoken to her of an acquaintance who played the piano, and perhaps her mind leapt to Truman's daughter and thus to politics. She was far more politically conscious than her husband. I think she believed that as a candidate she would have stood a better chance than he, and following the pointer of her protruding chin, I could well imagine it possible. Mr. Smith, who wore a shabby raincoat turned up to guard his large, innocent, hairy ears, was pacing the deck behind us.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?